Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Connor Newt, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things NFL with him. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Later today on 94.9 The Fan, Sounds taking on Louisville at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Some more to get into on the Legarius Sneed situation here in just a few minutes, and we will do that. Taking your thoughts on the Titans in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Ed wondering if we found it coincidental that the Titans PR put out a highlight reel of Ward to Jefferson yesterday. It's like, you guys been talking a whole lot about Cam Ward and Van Jefferson. Here's a nice play from them at practice yesterday. I did find that funny.
Do you think they cut our audio after we started talking about their hierarchy? Is that what happened there?
Maybe so. We're having some technical glitches. We're working on those, and seems like things are going well right now. So
yeah,
we'll keep,
I think we're okay.
We'll keep going. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We've discussed a lot of different things from this article that TD and Jeremy Fowler put together at ESPN.com. There's a lot in here. I mean, we could probably spend an entire show on it. We're not. I'd encourage you to go read the article because it you can't really do it justice talking about it on the radio. I will say, though, there's a stat in here that they've put together from ESPN Research that I guess I'm not shocked by when you really think about it, but it does highlight, I think, exactly what the challenge is for the Titans this year. And it's the most rookie wins by a number one overall quarterback pick. And this goes from 1967 until now. So that's a pretty healthy body of sample size that we're talking about. The most successful number one overall quarterback pick in their rookie year by just win total, if you're just measuring wins, is Andrew Luck back in 2012 with the Colts. They won 11 games that year as a rookie. Sam Bradford of the Rams in 2010 is actually second best in that time period, and they won 7. Then there's a whole bunch of guys at 6, like, you know, Mayfield and Jameis Winston and Cam Newton. Goes all the way back to Jim Plunkett with the Patriots. So it shows you how hard it is when you're a number one overall pick at quarterback to come in and immediately elevate the team. And when you really think about it, it's like, well, if you're the number one overall pick at quarterback, that means you are going to the worst team in the NFL. And there's generally a lot of work to do with that roster. Now, you know, I heard the guys on DVD talking about this yesterday, and it's a good point. Like, Andrew Luck, yes, individually, was really, really good.
Yeah.
And was ready to play in the NFL at a pretty high level immediately. Also, that team, you know, the Colts had some pretty good pieces already in place on that team. The year before, they were so bad because Peyton Manning couldn't play. Peyton Manning was dealing with the neck issue, which he eventually had surgery on and then came back and played pretty high-level football for the Denver Broncos for a few years after that. So, like, there were some pretty good pieces that were already in place in Indianapolis, and Andrew Luck had the luxury of stepping into that. By and large, that's not how it works with your number one overall pick. Usually you're walking into a situation that's kind of like the Titans, where you look at the roster and you're like, it's not very good.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of great pieces that this team has in place. Now, you know, Caleb Williams, the expectation for that was higher than what ended up transpiring last year. And again, there's a lot of detail about, you know, the ins and outs of Caleb Williams, and, you know, Frank Reich's in here talking about Bryce Young. It's a really interesting piece, but I found that part of it pretty interesting just in terms of, I think it kind of lays out what the challenge is here for this team. When you're drafting a rookie quarterback number one overall, it is really difficult to win games that first year.
Yeah, I mean, they're, like you said, they're not stepping into an ideal situation. Cam Ward does not have a good offense around him. Now, you've heard praises of the offensive line appears to be solid and the connection with Calvin Ridley looks good, but all in one, I mean, this is not a well-rounded offense. This isn't a good roster. It's a matter of, do you trust your quarterback to develop that offense and find connections with guys that you think he can connect with? And it ultimately comes down to the coach, too, which is kind of what we've been talking about for the last hour. Can that coach bring that offense together and do something with it? I'm not even saying measuring wins, just make it look like a competent offense, because you didn't have that last year under Will Levis. Under Will Levis, it was kind of more of the same, you know, lots of three and outs and disastrous turnovers and things like that. It's a matter of, with this first overall quarterback in Cam Ward coming into this system, is it going to be more of the same, or are you going to have a little bit of forward momentum progress with the offense?
Well, and here's another stat that they found, which is pretty incredible when you really think about it. He says, per ESPN research, teams that start rookie quarterbacks are a combined 431, 655, and 2 in the NFL's 32-team era. So you're talking about since 2002. That is a winning percentage of 397. So it's not very good. Like, you're not winning a whole lot of games starting a rookie quarterback. And that's everybody. Like, that's not number one overall picks. That's every rookie quarterback when you're starting those games. It says that, you know, Jay Daniels and the Commanders showed this past season that immediate turnarounds can happen. And then it says the list of number one picks with winning records. And they included the caveat of a minimum of 3 starts as rookie quarterbacks in the common draft era has one name on it. It's Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And that shows you, like, that's what the Titans are dealing with here. Like, if you've got the expectation that the Titans are, like, going to sneak up and grab a playoff spot this year, I'm not telling you it's impossible. I'm telling you, by the odds and by the numbers, one quarterback that was taken number one overall has a winning record.
Yeah.
In the modern draft era. That's what the Titans are dealing with right here.
I mean, it's a very, very rare case, and I think a lot of people have become accustomed to plugging in a rookie quarterback and seeing immediate results. Like, look at the Commanders last year. They plug in Jaden Daniels and have immediate results and make it to the NFC Championship game. C.J. Stroud was the year before in the same division you're in. It's a trend we've become accustomed to over the last couple years because it's such a rare case, but it's weird that it's happened twice. I don't think it's fair to expect that that's going to happen here in the same capacity. Now, could you see a jolt from the win totals from 3 to maybe 6? Absolutely. Is it out of the realm of possibility that the Titans could possibly sneak into the playoffs? I would bet no, but it's certainly a possibility. I mean, nothing's impossible in the NFL, it seems like. So I'm just saying it. I don't expect it to be one of these rare, rare cases where Cam Ward comes in and just is a revolutionary player and surges this team to 10 wins. I think that's unfair to expect from this roster.
Yeah, it's like, it just shows you how much work there is to do, which, you know, you can get back into the coaching conversation with that. You can get back into what are fair expectations. Like, how do you actually judge what progress looks like this year? I mean, there's a lot that goes into all that, but like, I just, when you're drafting the quarterback number one overall, unless it's an extreme example like the Colts, who had a massive injury the year before and had a roster that was well built to win immediately, it generally speaking is going to take some time. And then the question becomes, all right, well, how much time? Like, how much time is realistic? Like, the Titans roster, I think, is in rough shape. You know, I've seen rougher. It's not like it's the most devoid roster of talent in NFL history. So, like, I've seen worse rosters. I've seen worse rosters for the Titans than the one that they've got right now. If you want to go back to the Wizenhunt days and before that, like, they've had some pretty brutal rosters.
Dexter McCluster, baby.
Out there. So, like, it's not like they're just totally devoid of talent. But I think when you factor in where they're coming from with the number one overall pick, the conference that they play in, and the AFC, which I think is pretty loaded.
Especially like with the quarterback talent.
Yeah, the quarterback talent's unreal in this conference. Like, it's a high bar. It's a high hill they've got to climb. It just is. And Cam Ward, like, you eventually want Ward to be in the discussion. And it doesn't have to be Mahomes, right? Like, but you want him to be in the discussion of, like, when you're looking at teams in the AFC and Cam Ward's at the helm, do you feel like you've got a chance? Like, do you feel like you've got a shot out there? And that's where the Titans have got to find a way to get to.
Yeah, and I wouldn't go as far as to say you're going to come away with the assumption that Cam Ward is the next Patrick Mahomes after this season. I think what you're looking for this season is Cam Ward the kind of quarterback we can tailor our team towards? He doesn't have to be the next coming of Tom Brady or whatever great quarterback you want to throw in there. I just think he needs to be exactly what they need and exactly what they expected drafting him at number one, and that's a competent quarterback that you can build a team around. And I think that's my expectation for the season is, who's the coach that can do that? Is it Brian Callahan? Is it a guy we haven't hired yet? Right now, I'm in the camp of it could be Brian Callahan, because I think you got to give him a chance before we fully get on the let's can him before the season starts train. But if he, like I said, if he goes and just craps the bed, then yeah, it's probably in your best interest to move on and find someone else better. But right now, I think they have the pieces in to develop the quarterback. And look, he showed you what he's capable of. You've seen some flashes, granted it's preseason and training camp practice, but you've seen flashes of what he possibly can be with some of these throws. I think he has the potential to be a great quarterback in this league. It's just a matter of, can all the pieces around him come into place and come together so it pans out that direction?
Brian Callahan with an update, kind of, on L'Jarius Sneed yesterday, and our buddy Gentry Estes with a very interesting piece at the Tennessean on Sneed that he's just come out with. We'll get into all that coming up next. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
What is the plan with L'Jarius? Is there any hope that he can start working his way, clear the physical this week, or what's the schedule looking for him?
Yeah, there's some hope that's the case. You know, maybe we'll see where he's at tomorrow, I think, one more time, and then there's a chance that happens pretty soon. But I'm refraining from any definitive statements on it for the moment, but I'm hopeful that happens soon.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday updating the status, kind of L'Jarius Sneed. Basically saying they're still in wait-and-see mode. They said they're hopeful. There's a chance maybe he could come off PUP soon, but he's not going to make any definitive statements about it. So we talked about Sneed a little bit yesterday. Here we are, the final preseason games in 2 days, and then it's roster cutdown day, and then it's time to get going for real and to prepare for Denver and, you know, a couple weeks you're playing an NFL regular season game. So you got all that in the backdrop, and L'Jarius Sneed still has not sniffed the field so far in training camp in any meaningful scenario. You know, Callahan was talking yesterday about, you know, he's out there running. It's not like he's not doing anything. It's like, well, that's great, but, like, you have to be able to play football.
Yeah,
football? Working out on the field are two different things. So we'll see what happens on that front. You know, Gentry Estes has come out with a nice piece at the Tennessean this morning, and you know, it talks a lot about basically how much money Sneed's making to not play football, right? Like, he's the second highest paid cornerback in the league right now, and the Titans aren't getting anything from him. And, you know, it is interesting. Like, he went on that TV interview a couple months ago now at this point, I think down there in Louisiana, and talked about how he was as healthy as he's ever been. Like, I'm as healthy, feeling as healthy as I've been, good to go. And he's been none of that so far. So it's the same old conversation with him. Like, I know Titans fans are sick of it. They're like, you know, is he ever going to be back on the field? It is kind of amazing. Like, I feel like we're probably not talking enough about how have we gone from at the beginning of camp, like, being pretty hopeful about where he's at with his status, and him a couple months ago talking about being as healthy as he's been, and now here we are weeks into camp, and he's no closer to getting on the field than he has been, it seems.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where Callahan is still like, Yeah, I hope. I mean, I'm hopeful that happens in the next few days, but I don't really know. Like, that's basically what he said yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, not to restate the conversation we had yesterday about L'Jarius Sneed, but I don't expect him to be ready for week one. At this rate, he's played zero football this summer. I mean, he's out there conditioning, I guess, which he should be doing anyway as an NFL player. But I don't expect to see him out there ready for week one just because of the lack of participation he's had in practice and the lack of actual football he's gotten done. And that's nothing on the knock of the character, or not even character, the skill level I think L'Jarius Sneed is capable of. Like, I think if they get him to the level that they traded him for, then he's going to be pretty good. But he hasn't been that since they've grabbed him. I mean, last year was a disaster for him, and now you have these legal concerns and this injury that we still are very unclear about. It's just not looking good for L'Jarius Sneed for me.
It's looking like it's just going to be a total disaster of a trade. And I know that, you know, the guy technically who executed the trade is not here anymore.
Yeah.
Rand Carthon. Now, again, Chad Brinker was part of it.
Yep.
He's still here. So it's something to keep in mind there. But I
wonder what that conversation was like when
Borgonzi showed
Brinker,
up.
Like, yeah. Hey,
it was him.
When we talked about that Sneed trade, and both of us were like, oh, I don't know if this is a good idea. And Brinker was like, hey, I'm glad to get rid of him. Or, we want to bring him in. I'm not sure it's a great idea. Borgonzi's like, oh, no problem.
Yeah.
You take him.
You
and now Borgonzi's got him. Like, hey, remember when we did that? That's probably not a great idea.
Yeah.
Like now that I'm stuck with him here.
Did Borgonzi ever, when he was considering taking the Titans job, did he look at it and was like, man, L'Jarius Sneed's there. Crap. Gonna have to find a way to get rid of that. I mean, I'm mostly joking there, but I mean, it's looking like a total.
They're
not going to get anything out of it. Like, it's looking like they're going to get absolutely
nothing.
Zero.
Yeah. Nothing.
And, you know, it's not like that's as detrimental to your franchise as, you know, busting on a quarterback or anything like that. And, again, the general manager who made the trade's already gone. But, like, right now, it feels like whether he plays for them this year or not, which I'm still highly skeptical about, but even if he does, I'm skeptical it's going to be at a high level. It feels like we're just like waiting until the Titans can get rid of the contract, right? Like, that's what we're waiting on. And
which I think he has an out after this season.
Yeah. Like, who knows what's going to happen with his legal situation? I have no idea. Number one, what the result of that is going to be. And number two, what the timeline of that is going to look like. So, you know, I know people have talked about, you know, if he's gets into trouble with that, could you get out of the contract? Like, if it ends up being suspended by the NFL, could you get out of the contract there at that point if you're the Titans? Which I think they would. I think they would do that. But I have no way of knowing when or if that's going to happen. So in the meantime, it just kind of feels like everybody's waiting around until the Titans can get out of the L'Jarius Sneed contract and pay some money and go on. Like, that's where we're at with it. It is, like, it's not the A.J. Brown trade. It's a pretty freaking awful trade.
Yeah,
it's for what they've gotten out of him so far, which is next to nothing, it's pretty awful. And it's just the latest in a stack of awful moves that have just crippled the Titans over the last 5-6 years. When you really stack them up in totality, it's pretty impressive. Like, everything from A.J. Brown to Isaiah Wilson to Caleb Farley. I don't need to relitigate all this. Titans fans know it. It's unbelievable, the run that they're on right now.
I mean, we need a documentary on just the string of bad moves the Titans have had over the years. I'd watch it. I'd laugh at it, but I'd watch it. I mean, yeah, it's just no. At no point last year did I ever think L'Jarius Sneed was the player that the Titans had traded for. Like, he just looked slow and was getting burnt in coverage, and I understand that the defense in general was pretty bad last year, but he especially looked bad. That said, like I said yesterday, you kind of hope he's healthy and that he's able to play at some point this season, because you just have lack of depth at that position. I mean, outside of Brownlee and McCreary, you have pretty much next to nothing. You drafted a sixth rounder, which I wouldn't expect him to contribute much. But other than that, it's pretty rough. So just for availability standpoint and the fact that you have a body out there that is capable of playing cornerback, you kind of need L'Jarius out there.
Well, and it's rough on paper right now if he can't go with where they're at. What happens if like Brownlee goes down for 4 weeks or McCreary can't play for a couple weeks. Like McCreary's been pretty durable to this point in his career, so hopefully that continues. And I know he's in a contract year, so like it's a big year for Roger McCreary. But like what, like Brownlee, first off, I was encouraged by Brownlee last year. I thought Brownlee played well, particularly for a rookie. I don't know that Brownlee is going to be ready for the role he's getting ready to get thrusted into this year, which is like essentially being their number one corner, right? Like, you know, McCreary is going to play in the slot, and some of it's going to be matchup dependent on who they're playing against. But like, you're going to see Jarvis Brownlee a lot against whoever the best wide receiver is for the other team. Like, is he ready for that? I got my doubts about that.
Yeah.
And again, that's with all those guys staying healthy. Like, if one of those two players, like if Brownlee or McCreary go down for any substantial length of time, I mean, they are in big trouble at cornerback. Big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
If Snead can't go.
I mean, I really don't want to look at the next draft because we got a season to come up to. But you got problems at wide receiver, you got problems at cornerback, and you got problems at edge rusher. And that's just a few of the pieces you need. I would highly consider investing a high draft pick, first or second round, in a cornerback. Just because you need an elite-level cornerback that is a lockdown defender. And quite frankly, it'll help your depth as well. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to go out and... Obviously, they have the number one waiver claim this year, which they like to brag about. I don't think it's just a... like fantasy football where they're going to get a high-level player at that low of a price. But I would expect them to go and sign a veteran corner just for a depth move once the 53-man rosters are set. Someone's going to get cut. It may not be a, you know, all-pro caliber player, but you could just go sign a experienced corner with that waiver cut, and, you know, it's maybe it'll help your depth a little bit, especially if Snead is out.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We got the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into all things NFL with him. Looking forward to that. A quarterback competition settled in the NFL that we discussed, and another one settled in college football that I was not aware of until I saw it yesterday, and boy, am I glad I saw it. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025 The Game. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trinetics' Rock the Cradle. This event sure to be a great time, celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets at rockthecradlenashville.org. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Elsewhere in the Titans division, the quarterback competition that we discussed yesterday has now been solidified. Daniel Jones, the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. We talked yesterday, Connor, about that competition. Head coach Shane Steichen said over the weekend that he was close to naming a starter, and now he's done it with Daniel Jones. And I think, you know, the conversation that we had yesterday, kind of reading between the lines of what he said on Saturday and then what he kind of again backed up yesterday. You know, I said if it was close, I'd be going with Anthony Richardson. Like, I think you need to exhaust every possible opportunity to try to see if your number four overall pick can work and can improve and can get better in the course of what has been a young career to this point, a very disappointing career to this point. But I didn't think that's the way that Steichen was going to go, because he talked about basically operating at the line of scrimmage and identifying what you're seeing in front of you and communicating clearly in the huddle, and all these different intangible type things where I was like, okay, what about like throwing the ball and, you know, being accurate with the football and the physical part of playing quarterback? And he just never really brought that up when he was talking about his quarterback decision. And that kind of led me to believe that Daniel Jones was probably going to be where he went. And that's exactly what he did. Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. Your thoughts on Jones as the starter? And he was not even willing to go down the road, Steichen wasn't, of like, what about Anthony Richardson? Like, in the future, what does this mean for him? He's like, I'm worried about right now.
Well, his answer for that was funny, because he was like, well, Daniel Jones had a great season in 2022. And I'm like, that was 3 years ago, but yeah. Okay. what a complete crapshoot that the Indianapolis Colts are at the quarterback position. I said it yesterday. I think they're going to be in just a quarterback hell for the next couple of years. Like, they're going to have to reset. However, I don't think this is the last we see of Anthony Richardson for the Colts. I think he'll find his way out there this season when they realize how bad old DJ is at the quarterback spot, and then they turn back to Anthony Richardson and he's bad, and it'll just be an endless circle. They're not going to be they're almost as much of a disaster as the Titans are, honestly. Like, they have so many ownership questions and roster construction questions. Like, I think they're going to struggle for a long time. They're kind of on the downswing. Well, you could argue the Titans are potentially on the upswing. I wouldn't classify them as that yet, but they're going to struggle for a long time, and I think this quarterback decision is indicative of that.
Josh from Columbia texting in said, why would the Colts not trade for Kirk Cousins or even a guy like Jameis Winston or Jimmy G? Because they're tanking, but for who? Will Arch stay at Texas? Everybody keeps saying that. Guys, the Colts are not tanking.
Well, the coach does not want to tank.
The coach and the GM both do not want to tank. They will both get fired. So, like, I don't know where this the Colts are tanking stuff is coming from. Like, if the Colts are tanking, the guys in charge right now, the head coach and the general manager, ain't going to be there.
I mean, Ballard's been there for, some would argue, too long.
Yeah.
And he's had very good security. But
yeah,
the ownership situation is different.
Yeah.
It is no longer Mr. Irsay. It is his children. And you cannot assume the same.
Exactly.
You know? So if you're him, it's Ballard, even though you feel like you've been pretty safe. You got a whole new wild card in there now.
Yeah.
So there's no, you know, there's no being safe about this, either one.
No. And look, I don't feel great about their chances to hold on to their jobs beyond this year with Daniel Jones as starting quarterback. But, like,
I wonder what their plan is, they're trying to accomplish season with this move.
Well,
what is your ceiling with Daniel Jones?
I think they clearly don't think Richardson can do it. Like, I think Steichen has arrived to the point where he's like,
he's going to get crushed. Like,
he's going to get himself
preseason
killed
game
out there. Yeah, like, yeah. He's going to get himself killed out there. He can't properly identify what's going on, and he's not at a spot from the mental standpoint of playing quarterback where he's going to be successful out there. And I think they've tried to work with him on that, and we can go back to, you know, what we talked about yesterday of the decision to play him too early. But, like,
yeah,
I think we saw in his first game in the preseason, with the problems that have been there look like they're still there with Anthony Richardson. And look, it just looks like, you know, he's a guy that's got immense physical talent. It looks like he's going to be a major league bust, right? Like,
and I guess that makes sense if you're the coach, when the rest of your team is in the position to do the right things with the play,
yeah,
and the quarterback can't get everybody on the same page and everyone else is doing the right thing, but the quarterback is making mental mistakes. It's not good for the team in general, because it's, you know, you're hurting the rest of the team just for the quarterback, and long term for the entire season, you can't do that. Yeah. You know, if you're the receiver and you're going to the right spot, you're making the right blocks, and the quarterback is just completely making mental mistakes, and what that does to the rest of the team, I mean, I get it. If you're the coach, you probably have to make the move, the change. So,
Indy Ben has weighed in.
Oh, yes.
Cool.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He says the Colts will likely draft another quarterback in the next draft in a much better class, and that looks like where it's headed. Once they hopefully do a 180 and draft a quarterback with experience, they should be promising with an already quality roster and offensive weapons surrounding the quarterback. Andy Ben taking the optimistic approach. I like it.
I mean, don't discredit that guy's loyalty. I appreciate the loyalty.
They got the guy that sings the "This Is Our Colts" anthem to sing at the preseason game this last weekend.
It was glorious.
Yeah,
they had a whole
live and in person at the stadium.
Yeah, they had a whole like choreography going on behind him. It looked great.
It's good stuff. Yeah, baby, good stuff. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
All right, what's going on, Robbie? You and Connor, y'all doing okay this morning?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 102.5 The Game, Mark, number one caller. But, Robbie, the defining moment for Anthony Richardson was when he blew that didn't see that blitz coming on, and then he got sacked and hurt his hand.
Yeah.
Chris Dallas should have been fired a long time ago. Steichen made that move because he's on the hot seat anyway this year, Robbie. He's going to get fired. They're going to clean house. Irsay's daughter has taken over the reins as ownership with the coach. They are in a bad situation. They're not going to win either way with Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson. My granddaughter had more starts in softball at 7 years old than Anthony Richardson had in college at Florida. And you remember Stillman wanted the Titans to draft Anthony Richardson.
Yep.
He was really high on him at the time. And, Robbie, I kind of knew he was going to end up being a bust. He shouldn't have been a top five pick like he was. But, hey, the coach made that decision. But, like I said, Ballard should have been fired a long time ago. But they'll clean house at the end of the season. Ballard and Steichen will be out. So they'll have a new regime come in at Indy and hopefully get that situation straightened out. But number one call is getting out. Y'all have a good day, man.
Thank you,
brother.
We're
going to get to Atlanta. See y'all.
Appreciate it. Texts are rolling in about Indy Ben. Michael from Madison says, I think that's the first time Indy Ben has texted in about the Colts. He talks about us more than he does his own team. Another texter says, I love how he said quality roster when half of their offense is usually injured for the majority of the season. So Indy Ben catching some strays.
Well, they are dealing with some injuries right now.
They are.
In camp, I was listening to some of their preseason radio broadcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Jones definitely missed one throw to Tyler Warren at some point where they were not happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
I think Alex Pierce has been missing some time. The defense, Quiddy Pay, I think, has missed some time. So they've been dealing with some injuries in Indy.
They have.
Too. So I'm not sure the roster's in a great position either.
We will see what that looks like with Daniel Jones at the helm. A quarterback competition solved in college football that previously I was unaware of.
Yeah, never heard of this guy.
Yesterday I was made aware, and boy, did social media this take fire out there. I saw this tweet from Pete Thamel talking about BYU naming their true freshman quarterback Bear Bachmeier as the team's starting quarterback. He wears number 47 as his number. He's number 47. He's got extremely long hair. His name is Bear Bachmeier. He's a true freshman, and he's starting in the opener for BYU. And let me tell you, the aura from this kid, off the charts, number 47 is quarterback. I hope he does well. I'd like to watch Bear Bachmeier just go out there and light it up for BYU.
I think we should add him to the all-time college football name team alongside General Booty.
Yes.
And former Kentucky defensive lineman Poop Johnson.
Yes. Good stuff out there. BYU, you know, they can get sneaky every now and then.
I think 12 is wide open.
They can get sneaky. We'll see how it goes. They open up against Portland State, which may or may not be located in Portland, Tennessee. They open up
Adam,
against Portland State.
We need to get back with us on that.
Yeah, where's Portland State? Is it in Oregon? Is it in Maine? Is it in Tennessee? Let us know. And they got Stanford right after that. So Bear Bachmeier. A name to watch early in the college football season for BYU, number 47 as the starting quarterback, which I know immediately many of you will just hate.
Got a little bit of a classical musical kind of situation there. You know? Like maybe he's composing a score for the latest, newest movie.
They should. Like when he walks out, they should play like Beethoven or something just to get the crowd turned up.
There's Bear Bachmeier out there. One texter says, Bear's got my Heisman vote already. I mean, look.
I got to see what kind of quarterback he is.
I was not looking forward to watching much BYU football this year, and now, frankly, I will. I will watch some of BYU when they take on Portland State, assuming, of course, that game is on color television. We'll see how that
color
goes.
Color television.
Yeah.
I got to see if this guy is like a dual threat, if he's a pocket passer. Let's see the arm strength on this guy.
Adam in Portland confirms Portland State not in Portland, Tennessee. So good to know. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Rob Rant coming up next. We got Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm a grandpa driver.
The time 8:30 rolls around, Ian. You may look on that video stream.
Yep.
May not be any shirts on me and Connor.
I'm not very good at assessing bodies with shirts on.
Joe, do you have pointy nipples that show through the polo?
Next spring meetings, a Feinbaum, Rex Road, shirtless desk appearance on the beach.
I like General Booty, but sometimes I definitely notice my nipples.
You know, apparently I talk about being shirtless a lot on this program. Didn't know that until that mashup was
there. Shirts off, baby.
Shirts off. Tarps off on the program. I do feel like we got some air breaking through right now. Maybe a little bit.
Oh, you feeling a little bit?
A little bit of air. I don't know. It's not that hot in here right now. Maybe I've just acclimated. I don't know.
Maybe we're having strokes.
We could be. I don't know what the reference was there for Joe and why we were talking about General Booty, but I don't know that I will ever get over the "I love General Booty" comment that he made. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things.
Oklahoma legend.
In the history of this program. So glad that we got that back in the mashup. Good stuff there. I want to talk today about a couple of things that are quickly becoming the bane of my existence. And that is the group text message and the reply all email. Let me tell you, it's abused out there.
Okay.
It is abused. And, you know, luckily, like the group text message, I think I've got a little bit more tolerance for, just because there are some situations, either with your friend group or where you work, whatever it is, where you need to communicate via group text message. But in the group text message, when it's basically two people having a conversation back and forth with each other for about 3.5 consecutive hours, I think after about the fourth or fifth text message, it's your responsibility to pull that sucker over, park it, and have that conversation between yourselves, amongst yourselves. Get in there and somebody take the ownership, the onus, to say, you know what, I'm not going to sit here and blow up the group text message. It's just me and this other person talking anyway. I will individually text this other person. So the group text message, you know, it can be, you know, as you know, Ian, we go to bed pretty early.
Sometimes.
Every now and then I'll get involved in a group text message where it's just, you know, buzz after buzz after buzz on my table.
That's why you turn your noties off.
At 10:30 at night. I know, but if I start doing all that, you know, I end up turning alarms off and all this other stuff. So some of this is just my own incompetence that I'm calling out here. But, man, every now and then I'm just like, hey, can you guys shut up? Just wait until tomorrow to have this conversation when we can have a or text yourselves. But get me out of this group text message at 11:45 at night. The reply all email is an absolute epidemic in this country.
Yes.
And there are very few situations where it's needed. Let me tell you.
We get a few accidental here.
We do.
We had a couple last week that were actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
Random emojis that were sent out.
A couple of random emojis got sent to a reply all email. It's kind of funny. totally harmless.
Yeah.
But hilarious nonetheless.
You know, I'm going to call out my colleagues at NHL.com. Like, we get, you know, as you would expect, you know, the NHL is a multi-billion dollar business.
Season is about to ramp up.
Season's about to ramp up. We're involved in a lot of email chains. And generally speaking, like, it's very few of them are like, we need to respond to them. But for some reason, people feel like they have to sometimes, so they just reply all. And it's just constant streams. Like, once one person hits the reply all button, then everybody else feels like they've got to hit the reply all button and just reply, thanks. Appreciate the email. Good to hear from you guys. I'm like, I do not need a reply all email for you to respond to your boss that says thank you on it.
Yep.
Just individually respond to the email that says, if you want to say thank you, that's great. I'm glad you're being polite. Don't be polite to me. Take me out of the email chain. The group text message and the reply all email are about to drive this particular radio host straight up the wall. I'm getting there.
I mean, we deal with it all the time. Like Ian just said, 9 times out of 10, if there's an important message that Ian or Chase sends out, it will say, reply to me individually. Do not reply all. And then for whatever reason, there will always be one, and it's usually one person in particular, that hits reply all and says, thanks, got it, and it drives me insane. So I can get on board with the reply all email. The group text, I'm a lot younger than you, so I enjoy the group text because I have FOMO.
Nope.
But I also turn off my notifications because I know people are capable of blowing up that thing up and just I'll wake up to, you know, 100 missed texts and I'll just kind of breeze through it.
Yeah, I'm getting roasted on the text line for being a boomer and not knowing how to turn off my text notifications.
I know how to turn them off.
The problem is when I turn them off, I generally speaking forget to turn them back on. So like that group chat, whatever it is, I just don't see it. I'm like, it's like, wow, I've got 45 minutes text messages. Where'd that come from? Oh, yeah, I turned those group texts off. So, again, I have less of a problem with a group text message, even though it does bother me from time to time. The reply all email, I'd like to permanently ban. Like, you know, I'm trying to think. I'm sure there's been a situation where I've needed to, and I'm sure there are situations that exist where a reply all email works. I think it's about 2% of my time is a reply all email needed. And it gets executed probably about 35% of the time, which drives me nuts. It's disproportionate to what we're looking for out there.
Yeah, it's. I think we need a government mandate banning response to group email or reply all email. Like, it's just, if you got something to say, it's so simple. Just hit the button that says reply, not reply all. It's one word instead of two. It's not that hard.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Larry to the program. Larry, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, I know you're probably much younger than I am, but they got this thing they invented several years back called the alarm clock. You just turn your phone off, then you have the alarm clock to wake you up.
Larry, do you still have an alarm clock?
I do. I don't use it much, but I have it there. And if I need to get up and go somewhere early, you know, I got a breakfast date or something, I set the alarm clock, make sure I'm there on time.
We talking digital alarm? What kind of alarm clock are we talking about here?
It's one of them old digital, you know, alarm clocks. You know, it makes that loud noise. It's annoying as heck, but
it wakes you
up just fine. I don't get no group text at 11:30 from these old men trying to, you know, argue about some stupid stuff. You know, I don't have those issues.
Well, Larry, I'm going to take that under advisement. I don't know if you can still find a digital alarm clock, but I may go out there and look for one. Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Go try yard sales.
Well, that may be the way to go.
Have you considered investing in a cuckoo clock? I think that might be your answer.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. I feel like, you know, he brings up the digital alarm clock. I mean, I've got the image in my mind of the one my parents used to have, and I think it's the same one that everybody on the earth had. Like everybody,
yeah,
like,
that brown
like everybody's
one
parent, yeah,
that had that black speaker on the top with a button smack.
Yep,
my parents had that too.
I think everybody.
I used to have one.
Yeah,
before smartphone, sure.
Except instead of it was my dad's. Instead of an actual alarm, he set it to play like sports radio.
Turn it to the radio.
Yeah.
Instead of an alarm, the radio would turn on. Yeah.
So he would be awoken to the sound of, like, George Plaster's voice or something like that.
There you go.
Imagine setting the alarm to us. You wake up.
What a beautiful morning that'd be.
You wake up to a rant or
you wake up to Robbie talking about, you know, taking his shirt off.
Could happen still on the program. Tune in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yep.
Speaking of, Charles Robinson coming up next from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into all things NFL with him. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.